Real Success Blueprint, the podcast for realtors by realtors. I'm your host, Laura Dahl. I've been in real estate field for over 25 years. Throughout my career, I've learned valuable lessons, achieved significant successes, and now I'm excited to share these insights with you. So let's dive in and start building your blueprint for real success in real estate.
Our mastermind today is about your unique marketing plan. And that's going to encompass how you market and promote yourself and your business. The big thing is that you need to become what I call a person of interest. And I stole that. That's a Coach Burtism, as I'll call it. But a person of interest is somebody who draws attention to themselves in a way that everybody knows what they do and what they're known for. You don't have to ask them, what do you do? They don't have to even tell you what they do. You know, because it's a given thing that everybody already knows about. And to be really successful in real estate, you must become a person of interest. Everyone must know you're in the business of real estate. Everyone must know what makes you different as an agent. How do you compete with those 12,000 people in your town or in the state that you work in? And so you've got to figure out what makes you you and what makes you different in that way. So the first thing I'm going to talk to you about is choosing your area of specialty. You guys can be the jack of all trades to everybody, and you might find some success in that. But in all reality, you probably need to find an area that you really specialize in, an area that you can be the expert in, an area that when someone thinks of this type of agent, you are the go-to person. It is a lot easier to define and purpose your marketing towards one particular niche or one particular specialty than trying to be everyone to everything, to be the type of realtor who can help anyone and everyone for everything that they're looking for. You certainly can be successful at that, but I promise you, you're going to have an easier time of getting a very consistent, succinct message if you have a very specific area that you are focusing on. So the first thing in choosing an area of specialty is, who do you relate to best? You know, if you are, I use this analogy a lot, that, you know, if you are a country girl from the woods, maybe you grew up on a 90-acre farm, and you talk real country and you act real country, you know, you might relate to country folks. It's the country mouse versus city mouse kind of mentality. Or maybe you relate to really wealthy people, but, you know, my thing is, who do you relate to best? A lot of agents tend to relate to people of their similar peer group. So their parents were both educated. They have small children. Maybe they are runners. They interact and relate best to people who have similar interests as them, similar age bracket, similar income bracket, similar age children, similar kids activities. It's a comfortability level there. That's not to say that if you want to specialize in the luxury market, you have to live in a $4 million home. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just trying to say you need to identify, who do you relate to easiest? That's a comfort for you to be confident. And that's the key, is that, can you sell yourself as the expert in the area that you're trying to be naturally and comfortably? Is that relatable? Do people see you as that? The big thing is, number two, like, what knowledge do you have in this particular area? So for example, if I'm going to market myself as the waterfront specialist, I should probably know a lot about the lakes and rivers and water, bodies of water that are around my market. I should also probably know something about boats, because I'm probably going to be showing property from boats. And I should probably have some kind of idea, you know, something about like the depth of the water. I should know something about what types of activities are allowed. Can you build a dock? You know, what kinds of, you know, information is related to living on the water. So in order for you to choose a specific specialty, you would need to make sure that you have the knowledge necessary to be an expert in that field. And the best thing that I love about life is that you can go find any information that you want on the internet for free about anything you want to be a specialist in, generally. So do not let the fact that you don't know right now keep you from specializing in something that you want to be a specialist in. You arm yourself with the information that you need to be knowledgeable. Number three, what makes your service unique in this area? What makes you different? That's what I find very interesting about the class that I just took with Jesse. Jesse was talking about you having core talkable differences. And we talk about this a lot on our one-on-one trainings, is really trying to figure out what makes you tick, what makes you you, what skill set you're bringing from another industry that you're applying to your real estate business, and then how you can articulate that to your clients as buyers and sellers is what's going to make you stand out. You definitely need to be able to explain to them without violating the code of ethics, hey, this is where my area of specialty is. This is my expertise. This is why I can help you with this process, is because I was a loan officer for 15 years first, or because I was in construction before I got into real estate, or I was a teacher formerly, and so I can help explain things to you. But you've got to explain it to your, to the client that makes sense for them as to why you're the best person for their, for this job, or why you're the best person to make this work for them. So you need to identify what makes you different. And a lot of you struggle in this area. I will tell you, in the one-on-ones that I have, most of you really struggle with the fact that you don't know how to talk about yourself. Something has to do, I think some of it has to do with the fact that we're in the South. And I think you were taught growing up that, you know, you shouldn't brag about yourself, or you shouldn't, you know, talk about yourself in a boastful way or something like that. And I completely, I'm not taking anything away from that, but I'll definitely tell you that I believe that you've got to be able to talk about yourself in a humble way that still accentuates your strengths, that still promotes you and what you do. And so for those of you that are like true Southerners, that are very humble, that are like, you know, thanks for the compliment, you don't take compliments well, you shy away from them, or you don't know, you can't list five things about what makes you different or what makes you special, we really got to work on your confidence, because you've got to be able to explain to people what makes you unique and what makes you different. And that's not necessarily a bragging thing. It's basically just giving an inventory of how you can help. And if you guys need help in that area, that's what we're here for. We can always help you figure out bullet points for you to use, but you've really got to get down to the why you're doing what you're doing, what motivates you, how it aligns with your passions, in order for you to really come off as being authentic and genuine when you explain to people what your unique service is, what your unique ability is in this area. Okay. Number four, we talked about what additional skills, tools, or base knowledge to truly become an expert in this area do you need? So if I want to be a new construction specialist, I've got to know the builders. I've got to know the inventory that exists. I've got to know the different floor plans that are available. I've got to know what their feature lists are. I've got to know what their building process looks like. I've got to know what their time frame of completion is. I've got to know typically what kinds of things come up in their blue tape walkthrough so that I can be prepared. I've got to know where else are they building the same model. You've got to arm yourself. If you're going to be a new construction specialist, then you've got to have the answers that all the people who are looking for building new construction are going to want to know. You've got to arm yourself with the information to become the expert. You can't call yourself an expert in new construction only because you've sold four houses that were new construction. That doesn't make you an expert. You need to arm yourself with as much knowledge as you can to be the person that is the go-to expert. When you think new construction, you think of this person because you know that they are prepared and they know what you need to know. Same thing with, if I wanted to be I wanted to work with doctors only. So let's say I want to be a specialist for medical professionals or physicians, something like that. Then I've got to know what programs are available specifically for these buyers. Are there loan types that are specific for them? What is important to them as a profession? Most of them have to live within 20 minutes of the hospital. Are you, you know, are you aware of what neighborhoods are within 20 miles of various hospitals? So those are things that you've got to say, okay, if I'm going to be a specialist in this area, what do I need to add to my toolbox to let people know that I'm prepared to help them? You can't just call yourself an expert without arming yourself with the credential or the knowledge to be the expert. So the credential doesn't necessarily need to be from like some organization or something. It just basically means I am qualified to be an expert at this because I know everything there is to know about it, or I've armed myself with all the information, or I'm certified. If it does require some kind of credential, then that makes you, it validates your experience and validates your credential, your expert in it. So how will you find the people who need this area of specialty? So this is where, when you identify your unique marketing plan, you identify what you want to specialize in, then you can then target your marketing specifically to those people. It's a lot easier to find fish in a stocked pond than to throw your line out in the great big ocean and see what's out there, right? And that's really how not having a specialty should be related in your brain, is that I would rather fish in a stocked pond of people who are looking for me because I specialize in this one area than to throw lines out all over the place and eventually maybe I catch something, right? But it's not something I'm comfortable with. It's not something I'm knowledgeable with. It's not something that I'm an expert in. It's on the job training, which makes us all anxious and nervous. And are you able to provide the caliber of experience to your client if you are learning as you go? Are you providing the type of service that you know that they deserve if that's the experience you're if you're just figuring it out as you go? If you're not armed with the information that you need to provide them with the amazing caliber of service that they deserve. All right, number six says, what characteristics do these people share? Make a list. So if I know I want to specialize in first-time home buyers, then I'm going to make a list of criteria or characteristics that most first-time home buyers share. So maybe this is their first, like, full-time grown-up job. Maybe they're between the ages typically of 25 to 30. Maybe they typically have student loan debt and not a lot of other debt, or maybe they are high debt, low cash. Maybe they're anxious. Maybe, like, so can you see, you make a list of characteristics that these people have. Making the characteristics of the target client that you're searching for is going to help you identify how to craft your content and your messages of your marketing to that unique group. So if I make a list that I know first-time homebuyers are more anxious, they're distrusting, they are in a certain age group, they, you know, they do research online first before they go ever call you, they like to text, you know, not buy or not call you, whatever. Making a list like that is going to tell me, okay, how do I craft my message to appeal to them? How do I solve the problems that I know that they have? So just out of curiosity, as we've been talking thus far, has anybody thought of any areas that they could specialize in?
Yes.
Yes.
Would you like to share? Would you like to share those with us?
I would.
Who was that? Debbie?
Me, Debbie. Yeah. I could definitely specialize in downsizing.
Perfect.
Because I've done it many times, and I'm a home stager, house preparer by trade, and I could really help them.
Love
psychologically
that.
And physically.
Good. Love that. Who else?
I like musicians because
that's Heather.
Yeah. I'm just, you know, I've been one for a million years. I understand their struggles, and in fact, I'm working with a guitar teacher from Guitar Center right now. So, you know, I get it. And then also I have experience with seniors because, you know, I went through all that with my mom. So I can totally relate to people that are having to go through that with their parents.
Right. And it's easy to be relatable to multiple groups. Like, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. It's very easy. Like you, Heather, there's a niche there that I think you truly could excel and run with, but I'm also going to give you a warning. And then there's also, you have experience with seniors that you could easily relate to and have a lot of experience with. But which one of those two groups do you think you relate to the easiest, or that you think you could extract more business from?
Gosh, you know, that's tough. I'm 50-50. Probably musicians, but...
So... Yeah. I think that musicians, personally, is a easier group to market to. Like, when I hear musician and I think about that type of specialty, my marketing brain goes nuts. Like, the wheels start spinning and I start thinking of, in my head, I see graphics, I see slogans, I see pictures, I see education, like... That's how my brain works, that when you see a specialty that interests you,
yeah,
can you see what that looks like in terms of marketing messages to the masses? And I'm going to tell you, with musicians, all day long, they're a very eclectic, unique group of people. They have some financing challenges, so you can prepare, yeah. Prepare for that, because here's the thing. If you solve the problems that they have, with education or with programs, then you become immediately the expert to go to. So what you do is you acknowledge, hey, if you're a musician, I'm your girl. I have the resources available to help you get approved. I have the resources available to help you deal with a lot of things that musicians deal with when trying to buy a house. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The thing is that because you relate to both, Heather, and this applies to you, but I imagine it applies to everybody on the call, is that it's easy for you to draft marketing messages to both groups, but now you're sending conflicting messages to the two groups. Yeah. So if I was a musician and I've been following you and you've been putting out consistent messaging about how you help musicians like me, you have people to validate that you are an expert working with musicians. And now I believe that you are the person I need to go to if I'm a musician looking for a house, right?
Right.
But then I'm watching and you have other messages that say, you help elderly people downsize from their house. I don't know that you're the one for me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
It doesn't mean that you can't market to multiple groups, but what I'm trying to tell you is that, in my opinion, it waters down the message that you were sending initially, which is specific and targeted and consistent. And I think that that confuses people.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. And there's another group I love, is people relocating, because I love this area and I've lived here so long, and I feel like I just love to tell people, you know, share that with them. Right. So
my point is, I want you to pick one.
Okay. Just one.
For a solid year, Heather.
Okay.
For a solid year, I want you to gear everything you do to that one target.
Okay.
It is the six soccer balls lined up, right? One is first-time home buyers. One is relocation. One is old people. One is musicians, whatever. I say old people, you know what I mean, elderly. Each one of those balls represents a different group that uh-huh. you're trying to attract, because you're happy to sell a house to anybody. Right?
Hell yeah.
You got bills to pay. I get it. But if you took, let's say you walked up to that soccer ball, you kicked the first one, right? Mm-hmm. And it went pretty far. You kicked the second one, it went pretty far. By the time you got to the third, fourth, fifth, or sixth ball, the energy that you had behind the first ball is different, right?
Yeah.
So if you put all your focus and all your attention on the one ball, you're going to get that ball much further down.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? I don't play soccer. It's just an analogy that I think makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I want you to pick one group, and I want you to pick one focus, one specialty, and put all your effort and all your intention and all your attention behind that one group. If you put all your energy and effort in arming yourself with all the knowledge you need to be the expert, gathering all of the list of criteria of what people who need this type of expert are looking for, what information do they need to know, what do they have to have, what kind of problems are unique to them. If you arm yourself with all of that and then create a specific targeted marketing plan to attract those people, you will attract them to you instead of you chasing everything else. Does that make sense to everybody here?
Yes.
Yes.
Is there anybody else who wants to share an idea for an area that they want to specialize in or something that they feel like the wheels are spinning that they think they would like to investigate?
So Laura, you know, when this is Andrea, when you and I had our one-on-one, we talked about, you know, me being, I've always said for the 5 years that I worked in new construction, I always said if I went to general real estate or as an independent, sorry y'all, this is that's a term that we used in new construction, but I always wanted to brand myself as a new construction expert, and I've only had the two listings and then the one house that went under contract, you know, just since I transitioned. But I 100% completely understand what you're saying, because like going after those people that I sold to, I have seen houses go up in some of our neighborhoods that we sold in, and the agents didn't get them sold, or they sat on the market. And I think part of it was they didn't know enough about the home that was constructed to be able to even work with the seller on the resale.
Correct.
And one thing that I did yesterday with this guy who showed the house to his buyer, I let him know the house had LP Tech Shield. If you don't know what LP Tech Shield is, it's that aluminum backing that goes on the roof decking that helps with energy efficiency. Half of the neighborhood has it, half of the neighborhood doesn't. It was an upgrade that they did on phase two. And my buyer has bragged about the fact that her energy bills are really low. So I pointed out things that I knew about the builder and the new construction and the fact that they had a warranty that was going to be transferable to the next owner. And with all that, he told me, he laughed. He said, that's funny, because we were looking at new construction. And I said, well, this is, you're basically getting new construction and you're getting a builder warranty. So, you know, my mind has gone 100 different directions, because I've thought about the FSBOs. I've thought about the relows, because I've worked with a lot of relows. I've thought about, you know, the first time home buyers, but you can still work with all of those same people and still create your niche in one specific area. Would you agree with that?
Yes. Yeah, so I'm going to just ask a general poll to everybody on the call right now. This is for my giggles. For every person who just heard Andrea talk about this special feature that this house had, if she branded herself as a new construction specialist and educated you about the models and the floor plans, and you were looking to buy new construction, who would you call?
Yeah, Andrea.
Right? I will tell you right now, the 3 minutes that you just spent talking about this feature that this house has, you just established yourself as the expert. You automatically have credibility, because we believe you to be knowledgeable about something that none of us know anything about, right? Mm-hmm. Credibility goes a long way to earning trust right away. And I'm going to tell you, with the base knowledge that you have in new construction, you would be crazy to market yourself
not
as a specialist in any other field. Now, can you sell a house to a relocation buyer? Absolutely. Are you going to sell a house to a for sale by owner? Are you going to resale in a neighborhood that you've already sold them a house in? Yes. Are you going to help retirees? Yes. But your marketing is specifically geared to attract people who are interested in new construction to call you, to reach out to you for information.
That's good.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
It does not mean you can't sell to other people. It just means you're going to stop marketing to everybody and start sending a specific curated message to the person you're trying to attract. And I'm sorry, I'm here to tell you, you cannot attract everybody.
Right. I really do believe that knowing what I know with new construction, that helped me get that house sold faster than, like Laura told me, she said out of every house that has gone up for sale in that neighborhood, hers went under contract in record time.
Right.
And she had people around her questioning the pricing.
Right. Right.
And, you know, so I feel like it's going to be a testament to my knowledge in that area. So that's what I'm banking on for sure.
Well, again, your base knowledge builds confidence that when you talk about what you're talking about, you know what you're talking about, right? And it comes across as you being knowledgeable, and it comes across as you being confident in the information that you're sharing to be true. And that is going to exude over to the people to feel confident in you being the one that they should trust, right? And trust is built, but it's built based on your presentation of the information and your confidence in what you're presenting.
Right. Okay.
So does everybody understand the necessity to why you should choose an area of specialty? Is there anybody that's on the call that's like, yeah, I hear you, but I don't think, you know, I don't think specialty is really important. Is there, because I want to hear if you think, if there's anybody on this call who's like, yeah, Laura, I hear you, but I don't really want to pigeonhole myself down that, in that direction.
So I like the idea of the specialty, and I think Andrea's example is perfect, and the idea that it might actually mean like more proceeds for her homeowners is an even better point in general to kind of be able to start with. So I love that. For what it's worth, what about if so commonly in our business we're focused on like referrals from our existing clients, some of those like a little more complicated than say just geographic farming or some of those things that we hear initially, how do you handle, okay, here are some creative examples of how you brand yourself?
So my advice is going to be, if you are still, I think I understand what you're saying. If you are concerned that your referral base, you like when you initially sold them the house, it was new construction and now they're not new construction anymore, and you want referrals to come from those customers. Like, is that what you're saying? Like, how do I send my message to someone who's maybe not in this niche? Like, how do I get referrals?
Well, maybe more on the like, what are some of the niches that you've dealt with that are maybe not as obvious initially? Meaning, so Andrea seems perfectly well matched for a new construction focus.
Sure.
Someone who lives in a, you know, Fieldstone Farms or McKay's Mill, focusing in on that geographic farm.
Okay.
But like some folks who have brought to you, what are some of the fun examples of niches that you've seen folks build that maybe are not super straightforward?
Okay, so I have a bunch of examples that are in bullet in B2 that say decide, you know, like FSBOs, expireds, new constructions, withdrawals, waterfront, first time home buyers, move up, downsizers, retirees, doctors, whatever. Those are very specific. They're very obvious. I think that if I had an agent who lived in Fieldstone Farms, like Heather lives in Fieldstone Farms, for example.
23 years.
And there's 2,300 realtors that live in Fieldstone Farms.
Yep.
Right? So my advice would be to an agent, I think you need to find a specialty that is not geographic in nature, maybe to your neighborhood. You need to find something else that relates to you, that's relatable to you, whether it's a common interest. Hey, I work with runners. Let's say I'm a fitness freak, right? So we all know by looking at me that I'm not a fitness freak, but let's say I was a fitness freak,
Anna.
Then I want to be like the fitness freak agent. You can't use the word realtor with any kind of anything other than your name. You know that. But let's say I want to brand myself as I work with other fitness freaks. If you're a fitness freak like me, you and I should be working together. And I'm going to advise you to align your common interests, your passions, things that you enjoy with your business and extract business from those groups. If you're not interested in a very specific niche that is like a waterfront specialist, a first-time home buyer, you know, a retiree, doctors, dentists, you know, if there's not a group that you say, hey, this is who I'm interested in, then I'm going to advise you to really hone in and specify, who are my people? Who do I like hanging out with? Who do I like, you know, spending time with? What in common interest? So like Kevin loves bourbon. That's why he and I are friends. So that's one amazing thing about Kevin, but he also loves cigars. Okay. So Kevin could literally build an entire business that appeals to all of these subgroups of first time home buyers, retirees, move up buyers, doctors, whatever, because he found a passion in bourbon and cigars. So if he wanted to really just focus, if you love bourbon and cigars, I'm your guy. That's not real estate specific, right? But it's a common interest that we relate together on. It's a common interest that I can tie in to my real estate business. Does that make sense?
Totally.
Yeah.
Kevin, does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. No, that's exactly what I was asking about, so I appreciate it.
Cool. So, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, for some people, it's really hard for them to figure out where do they want to target? Who do they want to target? Because they have such varied interests. Like, if you're a chameleon and you fit in with 50 groups, that's you're going to have, and I get that. Heather, you've got a lot of interests. And you're
I love cigar and bourbon, too.
and you're very well-rounded. And when you're like that, you really need to just focus on, okay, what's this one group that I feel like I can create a very specific, bold marketing campaign that's obvious to everyone who looks at it, what I do.
Yeah.
So if Kevin did cigars and bourbon, his marketing campaign, though, might make you think that he sells bourbon and cigars instead of, hey, I love bourbon and cigars, but I sell houses. I sell real estate, right? You've got to make sure that the marketing message you're sending out is very clear to whoever looks at it about what you do, how you do it, and what makes you unique. And that's the part where it says B1, you need to develop a branded look that is obvious to the target consumer, what you do, who you serve, and how you do it.
Yeah.
So I think logos, colors, photos, it needs to be very specific that I'm a real estate agent. I'm a realtor who works with or specializes in. You don't want to say only works with. You want to say I specialize in working with physicians. I specialize in working with horse trainers or horse farms or equestrian properties. Or I specialize in homes with music studios. Or I specialize in working with musicians. Because I know you're looking for a unique space. I know you have financing challenges and I've got resources available for you. You know, I've got lenders or teammates that can help put together packages that make it easier for you to qualify. Or, you know, I understand the unique challenges that musicians have and the type of space that they're looking for, whatever it is. And I keep using the musician as an example, but it is a very specific example and that's what I need you to be. Is very specific.
Right. And I'm actually working with Martina's guitar player.
Yeah.
To find out. That's what I'm going all over Middle Tennessee for right now.
which is amazing. But we're going to come back to you in a second, Heather, because it's one of the things that you're going to do in this section B that is crucial to you establishing your expertise there. Okay. Mm-hmm. So one, you got to think about what is the branded look like? What does the branding look like for the specialty I'm trying to approach? So when I sold real estate in Virginia, you know, we have a lot of water in Virginia. I know you guys are aware of that. We have like the whole Atlantic Ocean, you know, right there off the coast. And we also have the Chesapeake Bay. So of course I worked with an agent in my office who was known as the waterfront specialist, and everything he did was the waterfront specialist. Every picture that he put on a flyer or online or anything had him on his boat or on a boat. It was his, but it could just be on a boat on the water. He had videos of him showing property from the water. If you were looking for a property on the water, who would you call?
Mm-hmm.
Him, because he created a message that said, if you are looking for this, I'm the one you call, right? So let's say you're a chef. You like love to home cook and you really, really enjoy cooking and you want to appeal to other home chefs or business chefs like that run restaurants or whatever. Everything you would do would need to say, when I look at it, that I know you are appealing to chefs. Does that make sense? Maybe. All right. B2 says, decide where is best to promote your services with your target audience. So I gave some examples, Facebook versus Instagram. So if I'm looking to be a specialist in move up buyers or maybe retirees, I don't think Instagram is where I should be. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
For sale by owners. If I'm targeting for sale by owners, where am I going to find them? You're going to find all the for sale by owner groups on Facebook. Remember, you can't blast and promote and spam all these groups, but can you offer things of value in the group? Hey, anybody looking for a open house sign-in sheet while you're trying to sell your house? Here's a link to one. Here's an article on, you know, how to be successful selling your house. You know, you're creating value first and then you ask for the business later. Expireds, new construction, we talked about. Withdrawns. Has anybody thought about ever looking up the withdrawns and calling them and saying, you know, hey, I've looked at your listing. I see some things that we could improve upon. And talk to me a little bit more about why you took your house off the market. Did something change in your personal life? Did you think you were moving and now you're not moving? You know, gather some information about why it was withdrawn. Sometimes it was only withdrawn because they didn't have confidence in the agent they had. If you're going to look to specialize in any of these areas, you've got to prepare yourself to have to know what to say, how to ask the right questions, and how to qualify the people, period. If you're doing outbound calls, what I'm trying to teach you is not an outbound system. It's an attraction system, because when you become a specialist in a particular area and you send outbound, outgoing marketing message that specifically relate to the people of interest, then they become a referral magnet, a magnet to you. They are looking for someone like you versus you calling 250 numbers and you get one. Does everyone see the difference between those two strategies?
Definitely.
For sure.
Okay. Let me see here what I got. All right. So military. So horse farms and military. So when I say decide where is the best to promote your services. So for example, if you wanted to specialize in horse farms or equestrian properties, then you need to make sure your messages are everywhere where horse farm people hang out. Go to the various barns in town. See if they have a message board. See if they have a newsletter. See if they have a private Facebook group. See if, there are local horse magazines, like people who trade horses or buy horses. Can you advertise in that? Can you host an event for horse people? Like, if you choose to specialize in this, then how do I reach these people? Military. You know, obviously, if you want to specialize in military people, you can be driving to Clarksville if you live in Middle Tennessee, typically, but not always necessarily. There's definitely retirees or veterans that are all over. But if you want to use your military experience or use your military background, then you're going to put your face in front of military folks. You're also going to take it a step further if you know, so this is the military brain for me, but it could apply to something else. If I am moving to Clarksville on military orders, where do those people typically come from? So in the military, there's like training, kind of like training schedules. So you get out of boot camp or whatever, you go to an A school or a C school, and then you go to your first duty station. And then from there, to go to another school, you end up at another base. So for example, in Beaufort, South Carolina, we dealt with a lot of Marine Corps fighter pilots. And these pilots were all on the same rotation. They either came from San Diego or they went to San Diego from Beaufort. So who do you think is the best source of referrals for military clients if I'm specializing in military buyers?
Well, from Norfolk, right?
No, someone in San Diego, right?
Oh, I'm sorry. My brain was, I was thinking Greg. Right.
No. I would call Greg. Camp Pendleton.
If they came from San Diego or they were going to San Diego, then I needed to make sure the people in San Diego knew when you come to Beaufort, I'm the one you call.
Sure, yeah.
Okay? It's the same thing if you take non-military and now you're going to put on a corporation hat. And let's say that I want to work with these particular type of company, like healthcare IT people, right? And you know that there's these big corporations that are in healthcare IT and they are based out of, I'm just making examples, this isn't true, I'm just making something up, but let's say they're based out of Seattle and they're based out of like Palo Alto and they're based out of Nashville, right? So I wanna put my face in the other two areas where those people are coming from. So I guess what I'm trying to say in, without giving specific examples, is that track how people come here or where they're coming from and put your face in front of them before they get here.
Okay? I already did that with Spirit Airlines. I reached out to them. I reached out to Amazon. I forget who, and the HR departments and sent info, you know, and they said they already went with somebody else, but I thought, hey, I'm going to put my hat in the pot, my card in the pot, whatever.
Well, I love the drive and the motivation, but I do want to remind you, Heather, that the larger the corporation is, they typically have internal relocation department agreements with Cendant-owned companies. So what you want to try to focus your sights on are smaller companies that actually have an internal HR department on site or somebody that you can build a relationship with on site that doesn't already have an existing relationship with a referral or relocation company. Okay.
Right.
So focus on your Fortune 500 versus your Fortune 50s.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's just a tip, like pro tip of having to beat your head against the wall. You're not going to get very far as an independent company, an independent agent with a big company like Amazon because they've already got relocation things in place. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So first time home buyers, move up, downsizers, retirees. So retirees is one we talk about sometimes, level yard or maintenance included, right? So like they don't want to do a lot of maintenance. So they want something with high amenities maybe, or something that includes lawn maintenance, but they also, it needs to be affordable. So affordability is usually an issue with some retirees. The other part is, they may need referral sources for like estate salespeople or, like someone to come in and value some of their stuff. If they're downsizing, they can't keep all of their stuff, right? So, and then for retirees too, sometimes, you know, they need hobbies. Like they've never not worked before. So you want to make connections for them to things that are of interest to them. So maybe they love cigars and bourbon too. And that's where Kevin comes in and saves the day and tells them all the great cigar shops and the best, his top three favorite bourbons that he loves, or a bourbon group that he belongs to or something like that. So you need to identify who it is you want to work with. And then you need to figure out where is the best place for me to advertise and market and get my face in front of the people I'm trying to attract. Number three says to create consistent content, establishing you as an expert in the area. It should be educational. You should provide information, but you can teach somebody to death and that is boring. So you can't just teach at people. You must also provide like case studies. So case studies is basically another way of saying a testimonial. So meet Jeff. Jeff was a first-time home buyer. He was scared to death. He was worried about what the process looked like. Maybe you do a video of interviewing Jeff, asking them what their favorite part was, what they were nervous most about. How did you handle them and their nervousness? A case study is showing an example of what you've done. So if I'm a new construction specialist, then I'm going to show an example of how I helped Mary and June build their new home. And here are some of the problems that we encountered along the way that they were prepared for and I helped solve. Okay, case studies. Q&A session are going to be live, either live Facebook or static content that answers the questions that they may have. You're going to do how-to videos. Again, there might be 12 steps to building a new construction home. You take each one of those steps and create a video explaining each one, or each one of those steps in creating an infographic, or each one of those steps in creating a static post that explains the step-by-step what to expect. Top 12 mistakes is one of my favorite. So if I'm specializing in waterfront property, I'm gonna produce a video or a static graphic or something that says, here are the top 12 mistakes people make when buying waterfront property. Here are the top 12 mistakes that buyers make or sellers make when selling a waterfront property. Here's the top 12 mistakes that buyers make when trying to decide between whatever. So you get the 12 mistakes, right? Identify what 12 mistakes are easily made, or 10 mistakes, 5 mistakes. I don't care what number it is. You get the gist. What mistakes are normally made with the very specific group that you're working with, okay? It's very easy with new construction. I could give you 7 right now to the top 12, 7 mistakes that buyers make when choosing new construction. So think about the group that you're trying to attract. Think about what questions they typically have or the problems they typically have or mistakes. And then that becomes an opportunity for you to solve those. Top 5 things X needs to know. So here are the top 5 things you need to know if you are looking to buy a horse farm. There are the top 5 things you need to know if you are a military relocating. Here's the top five things you need to know. That can be curtailed to any group that you're trying to reach. Number 4 says use keywords in SEO to make sure you can be found using those keywords and a search by your target audience. So I don't remember, might have been yesterday, it might have been in a one-on-one. We talked about Google. Oh, I know what it was. It was a one-on-one with Cameron. We were talking about SEO and keywords. And I'm going to tell you right now, unless you guys are Daddy Warbucks, you are not going to be on page 1 of the Google results for someone who searches Nashville real estate, Nashville homes for sale, Nashville realtor, Middle Tennessee homes for sale. Any of those major 10 categories that anybody is searching for that are very generic related to real estate in any specific area are very expensive and they're very difficult to get on the first page, and it will not happen overnight. But the more specific your search is, I'm looking for someone who specializes in horse farms. Now you're talking. Now I can create keywords on all of my, on my website, on my landing pages, on my social media profiles, on my blogs that say over and over and over again, I specialize in horse farms. I am a horse farm specialist. If you're looking to buy a horse farm, I am the expert. If you know anyone who has a horse farm for sale, please send them my way. Horse farm, horse farm, horse farm is in everything I do. So guess what? If somebody starts searching horse farm in Nashville, horse farm in Middle Tennessee, am I more likely to appear on the first page of those results?
Yes.
Yes. Now, if yours is just relocation Nashville, that's going to be harder. Right?
Laura, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Back to 3B3. I think it's very important just to educate people, because most people just don't know a damn thing about real estate or how to get through anything, especially target group.
Correct.
I come up with, And I don't know why in the hell it took me so long to think of this, because it was staring at me in the face, but I'm an idiot sometimes. But in terms of the people I'm targeting, it's going to be tough for them to get financed to get a home. So I'm thinking about putting a package together from their position where they're at currently of how to improve certain things that's needed for a loan. Right. Is there, I'm guessing two things, either one, get with your loan officer, or maybe we have something, I don't think we have it actually, to be very specific. Like, is there somewhere I can go, loan officer, to get this information to help them, you know?
Absolutely. You're going to call your favorite loan officer and you're going to say, okay, here's the target client that I tend to attract, or who I keep getting calls from, or who I'm trying to reach. And this is the credit situation that a lot of them are in. Can you give me 10 things that they can do to remedy that? 10 things that they can do now to prepare, 5 things that they can do within the next 30 days to get their score up. Very specific. Okay. And then you video that, you put it in a social media graphic, you have a PDF that you can email out, like all kinds of, whatever it is, you gather the information, you present it in a way that says, if this is what you want to know, here, let me give it to you. And you put it out there.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Okay, great. Yeah, yeah, of course. Thank you.
You're welcome. If you don't know the answer, or you don't have all the answers, or you're not even sure, like you realize you've identified the problem that this target person might have, but you're not sure. So like the doctor's loan, right? So let's say I want to specialize in working with doctors. I don't know a doctor. I'm not a doctor. I'm not married to a doctor. I don't even have any friends that are doctors, but I know doctors make a decent amount of money. So I want to work with them, right? Then I'm going to have to go find sources of information to educate myself about what they need to know. I'm going to have to go talk to lenders and find out, are there doctor loans available specifically for doctors? Are there programs specifically for doctors? For example, I want to specialize in working with military. If you, I don't know if you know this or not, but if they're 100% disabled, their VA funding fee is waived. There are also organizations that'll come out there and build wheelchair ramps or make the showers roll in or whatever. If they're 100% disabled, there's things that get done for them. I wouldn't know that if I didn't go gather resources that are available for veterans, resources that are available for military people. If you don't know the information, you've got to identify what the problem might be or identify what they need and then go get it and go find it. Okay? All right. In terms of keywords and search engine optimization, the only way search engine optimization works is if you identify the keywords that these people would use to search for you, and then you insert those keywords on everything you do. Search engine optimization is typically where you're going to, you pay usually someone to optimize your stuff to make sure that it includes the keywords that you want for someone to search to find you. Number 5 says promote, promote, promote. I have some agents who work at this company that when you look up their Facebook profile, you don't even know where they work. You don't even know that they're a realtor.
Uh-oh.
So, I think personally, if you choose a niche or a specialty, when someone looks you up on Facebook, it should say, I'm the military relocation expert. I specialize in horse farms. I focus primarily, my primary focus is on helping for sale by owners sell their houses, you know, but I wouldn't pick that one, but whatever. Or I'm the waterfront specialist. If you're looking to buy a house on the water or sell a house on the water, I'm the one that you call. You having a specialty doesn't do any good if you don't promote it. Remember what I said back on... number 1, it must be obvious to the target consumer what you do. So obvious only comes around when it's in their face, meaning that you have it everywhere that it's supposed to be. You do need to utilize brand ambassadors, like specific, I call them helpers, to legitimize you and your specialty. And this is where I'm coming back to you, Heather. is that you obviously are working with a very prominent, well-known, you know, musician, like a drummer for a prominent, well-known musician, right? Or an artist.
He's a guitarist.
Right. But people know who she is, like who he works for right now, right? Yeah. And what you want to do is at the crest and height of his excitement for you, like meaning you just went under contract or you just won the deal, you were in a multiple offer situation, you guys won, you solved a big problem, like he's happiest with you than he could ever be throughout this whole process. That is when you want to ask him for his help. You know, I'm looking to build a brand for my business and to focus and specialize only on working with people just like you. Can you help me do that by recording a testimonial video, by writing me a testimonial, by letting me put your picture on my branding materials, whatever that is. But engage people who give you instant credibility with other people like them. So, for example, if I were a doctor specialist, I want to specialize only in helping doctors. If I got Sanjay Gupta to give me a testimonial, he is a very well-respected doctor by a lot of people, right? So I'm not saying you're going to go out and find a Sanjay Gupta, but I'm saying, is there someone who gives you instant credibility by referring you or giving you a testimonial or putting your face on something? So I'm going to equate it to the Dave Ramsey, but I'm not coaching you to go get Dave Ramsey. So people have a lot of respect for Dave Ramsey. They trust what he says. He's got bazillions of followers all over the world that follow him and his teachings. And so he's created this other stream of revenue of getting certain professions to have him as an op, as like a, like, I'm a Dave Ramsey endorsed blah blah blah. So I'm a Dave Ramsey endorsed insurance agent. What that does is that means the millions of people who follow Dave Ramsey and trust him, they know him, they like him, they trust him, they trust his referral. And if he says you're amazing, then that you already have instant validity and instant credibility. You need to go find the Dave Ramseys in your world or in your unique group that makes sense. They're not all going to be a celebrity. It can just be a business owner. It could be someone who's well connected. It can be someone with a huge network. It can be someone who just exudes trust right away, but you get someone to speak on your behalf that helps you legitimize your specialty. So if I was a military expert, an expert in military relocations, I'm going to get someone in the military to talk about their experience. So it's just taking a testimonial and going two steps further. Try to find someone who helps validate and substantiate your claim of being an expert or a specialist in this particular area. My next suggestion is for you to create a bundle with discounts or specials with other supportive specialists. So are there other people who also have deals or incentives or programs for the type of target client you're looking for? So if I am a retiree specialist, are there other people who have programs specifically for retirees? Do you need to, you know, make a relationship with estate sale person? Do you need to make relationships with estate planning attorney? Do you need to make a relationship with maybe a bath fitter that can change a tub into a roll-in? Do you need to make a relationship with a landscaper because your people don't want to deal with maintenance? Those kinds of things. So arm yourself with a bundle or some type of package to where you have other people who also support your people, and together we're a team that's going to help with that specific thing. Anybody have questions about section B or comments? Because I'm doing a lot of talking to myself. So,
no, this is all good content, Laura. Thank you.
Hey, Laura, I do have a question.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about on the section about develop a branded look that's obvious to the target consumer? How, I guess my I struggle with knowing like how far to go with that versus straying from the Music City Experts brand. Okay. Because I feel like sometimes that's confusing to the customer of like, wait, like you're Justin whatever, but you're also Music City Experts. Like, I think that's confusing. And so I get overwhelmed by that sometimes.
Okay. So you can be a Music City Expert. Like, I'm an agent with Music City Expert and I specialize in ... So instead of saying I'm an expert in, because I see, okay, well, I'm an expert, Music City Experts, you basically are just going to say that, you know, I'm a realtor with Music City Experts, but I specialize in la la la. Unless you're trying to specialize in Lebanon, okay? I specialize in everything, all things Lebanon, because that's kind of goes to Kevin's question, can you specialize in a geographic area? Absolutely. You know, but I wouldn't go as far down as a neighborhood sometimes. But you could very easily. But I think that there is a way to create branded material that has our logo, that just has our name on it, especially if you use, there's a different, couple different variations of our logo. You don't always have to use the guitar pick. You could use the stacked as well. But I think lends itself sometimes a little better to your unique logo that goes towards what your specialty is. Does that help at all?
Yeah, I think so.
I think if you focus more on I specialize in versus I'm an expert in, then you're not going to have a double kind of crossover. And I think if you make your, you know, minimize kind of our logo and the focus, minimizing by maybe using a different variation, if it contrasts with what your specialty is, I think there's a way to get around that. Okay. Personally, anybody else have any questions, comments?
Laura, I have a question.
Yes.
How important is it to have someone create a special logo if you're trying to brand yourself in a certain area?
Well, you can get a logo created on Fiverr for like $25. It just, for me though, I believe that you get what you pay for sometimes. And I can get a logo done for $25, but it may not be the quality that I want. So I may want to spend, you know, $100. I may want to spend, you know, may want to pay Holden to do it. You know, I may want to get a graphic designer who specializes in this to, to get something that really reflects what I'm looking for. Remember, your logo is going to be on everything that you put out there, everything. So, I mean, you want to make sure that, you know, you are, presenting what you're a specialist in the most professional way possible. Okay. And I think the logo, don't get caught up on the logo. There's lots of ways that you can brand this specialization, this hyper focus, this expertise in something without having to have a logo to say that. It's in the imaging you use. It's in the font that you use. It's in the words that you use. It's in the way, the message that you're putting out there. It's in your videos. It's in, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be in a logo. The logo helps bring the branding together, but you cannot accomplish what I'm telling you to do with just the construction of a logo. That's not enough. All right, I want to cover the last part. For a listing, so here's the other part to this, is that you're going to have a unique marketing plan that's going to attract buyers and sellers to you based on your area of specialty, based on your expertise, based on your specific target that you're looking for. But I'm going to also encourage you, when you have a listing, that you should have a very specific, unique marketing plan for that listing. So I'm covering both areas here. On the first one, it says identify your probable buyer. It's not always possible that you can identify who your target buyer is for the property, but in a lot of instances, you can identify certain groups that would be more likely to purchase this home than others. So if I had a condo in downtown Franklin, you know, downtown Nashville, that's literally a 700 square foot condo, a family of seven is not buying that house. That's obvious, right? If I have a 10-acre farm in College Grove, then it's probably not likely that a 23-year-old millennial is looking for a 10-acre farm, but it's probable. It's possible, but probably not who's going to buy it. Does that make sense? Identify who you think that target buyer is likely to be. Where are they coming from? Is this house suited for specifically for a relocation? Is this house suited for a corporate mogul who makes, you know, $1 million a year in bonuses? Is this house suited for, you know, even though you're not going to say the word family in your marketing, is this house geared towards a family? There are things that you can do in gearing your marketing that are not violations of fair housing. So I can't use the word family. I can't say this is perfect for your growing family, but I can put my marketing in front of families, right?
Right.
So you want to identify who your probable buyer is, and then you want to, number two, develop a list of ways that you'll promote to this probable buyer. So for example, if I have a horse farm, again, I'm going to reach back out to those equestrian groups. I'm going to find my contacts of who do I know that rides horses? Who do I know that trains horses? Who do I know that buys and sells horses? Who do I know that owns a tack shop? When I go to the tack shop, do they have a community board? Do they have a recommendation of where I might be able to get this flyer in front of somebody? You need to think outside of the box of beyond the MLS. Because this is, if you were on the call yesterday on the Blaze thing, we've been teaching this for years and years and years. You know, there are four P's in selling, real, like in having a listing. You put a sign in the yard, you put a lockbox on the door, you put it in the MLS, and you pray that someone else sells it. The four P's are not how you become successful in this business. You must have a unique marketing plan to get your listing sold. You must have a plan of action that you can follow of where you're going to put this house, how you're going to get maximum exposure for the seller. Okay? So I need you to think outside of the MLS, what else can I do to promote this property? So for example, I had a listing once in Goodlettsville. So, you know, Hendersonville is this way, Goodlettsville is this way, Nashville is this way. It was a $550,000 listing around there. And I'll tell you about the probable buyer. The probable buyer who would be interested in this property is more than likely not going to send their children to the schools where this house was located. Okay, because it's still Davidson County Schools, and where this property was. And that person, in my opinion, was either going to want Sumner County Schools or private schools. So in that case, I reached out to the local private schools where four or five of them that surrounded that area and tried to figure out how I could let families at this in this school know about this property. And they just happened to have an event coming up, like a fall festival or open house or something like that. And I asked if I could sponsor a booth or whatever, or could I get in their newsletter? Could I, you know, or I reached out to a parent who actually goes to that school and said, are you in some kind of group that you guys can let people know that this house is for sale? Find creative ways that don't break rules, that also don't violate ethics violations, and find a way to get this house in front of the people who need to see it, because they're the probable ones who are going to buy it. And think of things and areas outside of just the MLS. And hey, just so you know, one post on Facebook is not going to cut it. Are there groups in Facebook that you can promote it? Can you do that without violating the group rules? Okay. HR departments, top five relocation zip codes or cities. Debbie and I talked about this in her one-on-one. We identified five, I think, major cities that a lot of buyers from Nashville came from. And Debbie found some agents that work in those cities and wanted to be a referral partner with those agents. So she reached out and sent her one sheet, an introduction letter, and like 12 reasons to use Music City Experts or something like that, and mailed out packages to these referral agents to try to get and earn business from them. So again, where are they coming from? How do I catch them before they get here? Back when I was in Beaufort, and I was really specializing in military buyers because it's a military town, there was a website that a lot of military buyers searched on, which is called militarybuyowner.com. And so a lot of military buyers would go on that website before ever talking to a realtor. And I bought a sponsored ad, and I was the banner ad and a sponsored agent. And so I captured, you know, 75% of the people who came on that website always called me or emailed me to ask me if I had other properties available. I wasn't a for sale by owner. I just knew that they visited that website, did market research. I asked, when you guys are relocating from San Diego, where do you go first? You know, where are you guys looking? And I found out that that website was highly used in San Diego, but not used so frequently in South Carolina, where I was. So by advertising them, they knew that site. It's like the Uber. When Uber and Lyft first came out, it wasn't so popular in all cities. It was popular in big cities. But if you went to another town, if you were a user in a big city and you went to a small town, you're pissed that they don't have Uber, but you were still looking for it. And that's kind of the same thing. The Military by Owner was like a website that they used very heavily in San Diego, wasn't used very much in Beaufort, but I used it a lot in Virginia. So I knew it was a great source, and that's where I put my information to be found before they got here. So think about where they're coming from. How are they getting here? How will they find me? How do I get my face in front of those people before they ever get here? Okay, I'm using military as an example. You apply it to your specific reach that you're trying to get to, okay? Lastly, it says list all the things you do to promote the listing into three categories. At my listing appointments, I break my activities into pre-marketing, on-market, and under-contract activities. You may think that all sellers know what you do to market and promote the house. I guarantee you that they don't. They don't know that you are creating, that you're pre-marketing, that you're creating buzz with teaser videos. They don't know that you're reaching out to a network of agents who are already looking for a house like this one. They don't know that you are creating flyers for their property and disseminating those flyers in equestrian parks or at the tax shops or whatever. You are going to want to create a list of all the things that you do to market that house. You're going to also identify which items you pay for out of pocket. If there are things that you do that have a cost associated with them, put an asterisk next to it. And at the bottom, say, these are expenses that I pay for on your behalf. These are expenses that I cover during the listing period at no charge to you. You want to create and establish value for your services. And by identifying things that you're paying for to them, it helps them understand that you're invested in this transaction. You're invested in making sure that their property gets seen. The end of the day, your job as a listing agent is to drive as much traffic to the listing as possible and to get as much exposure for this seller as possible. The MLS and a sign in the yard is only a portion of exposure. You need to think bigger than that, and that's one way you can separate yourself from other agents is to make sure that you are communicating with the seller what you're doing to expose their property and to get them as much attention by the target people who are likely to buy their house than anyone else. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yes. All right, I'm going to open it up for Q&A, discussion. One thing that you learned that take away, something that you want more information on, how you hate my class, whatever it is, like, I'm going to open it up for discussion.
Has anyone had an experience targeting a specific group and I don't want to say failed, but kind of failed at it because it wasn't something that was personal to you?
I'll give an example that I actually have had a lot of agents come to me and say, I want to specialize in luxury real estate. I want to be a luxury home specialist. And I'll be very honest with you. They're driving a beat up, like you know, beat up whatever kind of car. They barely can pay their bills. They don't know anybody in the luxury market. They don't have friends that live in luxury houses. They're not connected to luxury people. They're not educated. They don't work in the types of fields that people who live in luxury homes work in. So to me, that's not authentic. That is not, it's very hard for you to break into that if you don't have that network, or you're not able to create that network naturally, organically, and quickly. It has to be believable that this makes sense, that you would be interested in it. When I specialized in doctors, I was married to a doctor. So I got to say, you know, I'm married to a physician. I know what you need. I know what it looks like. I know what the struggles are. You know, so it does need to be personable. It needs to be relatable, and it needs to be authentic, and it needs to be believable.
Mm-hmm.
And anybody else is welcome to add to that if they would like.
I think just to emphasize what you're saying, I had the experience early on where I was fortunate enough to be kind of pushed into that luxury side of things, and it turned out not to be the natural networking piece that I would have preferred. Got a chance to talk to some of the best in our local market at that. And in that case at the time, and really today still, it was Lisa Culp Taylor, and having conversations with her, it helped me work out, hey, that just wasn't my cup of tea.
Right.
And finding something else, so much more comfortable, so much more confident. And now, you know, kind of X years later from that, it feels, kind of like the whole inflow thing they would teach you in like ninja selling and all that stuff. Super comfortable, super in line, and it just fits like a glove.
And there's a confidence level, Kevin, too, because you know where you are now 100% matches your personality. It matches your skill set. It matches your circle. It matches your network. Like, you can be you and attract the kind of people that you want to work with because it fits. It makes sense.
Completely.
Question. Well, I'll go ahead.
Sorry. When you're brainstorming on what group you do want to do, you don't want to go too narrow or small, correct?
Well, here's the thing. I'm trying to teach you that the more specific you can be, the easier it is going to actually be for you to brand and market yourself to that very specific group.
I get specific, but you gotta, I mean, aren't you thinking at the same time how many people in Nashville actually fit into that? I mean, you numbers wise,
yeah,
you need enough people that would want to buy and sell a house.
I mean, yeah, I don't want to specialize in alpaca sweater makers.
Yeah.
Because then I'm only going to have, that's a great example. I love that. I just came up with that off the fly. Like, alpaca sweater makers, how many people own alpacas and how many people are making sweaters from the alpaca fur, right? So yes, in a way, you want to do some research on, you know, exactly like to your, you want to do some research on whether or not this group is large enough to support a business for you, right? So,
yeah,
like, you know, if I specialize in military, there's one military base here, where, yeah, right? And it's 45 minutes away from me or an hour away from me. That may not be what I want to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, something like, musicians is a great category, but it's on the small end versus transition buyers wanting to step up a house or first time home buyers, or, you know, you have your broad categories that people, I mean, it's still specializing, but they're much larger groups of people.
But I would, yes, but I would rather you focus on the smaller set of musicians in Music City. They're everywhere, right?
Oh, yeah.
Versus alpaca sweater makers. Uh-huh. Right? There's a small group of that. But first-time home buyers could be anywhere all over Middle Tennessee. But yeah, if I said first-time home buyers in the Donaldson area, then yeah, now we're talking about a much more specific group that's smaller, that I can now become the expert, the big fish in the small pond of this little group.
Yeah. Second part to that question, I also... when you do this, you also, like, you know, when you were giving the example of, you know, bourbon and cigars, or even musicians or some of these other groups, you don't want to necessarily make it that you only sell to them, because, you know, maybe I'm not a bourbon and cigar person, but I think it's cool. You want to leave it open for that people that maybe that don't fit into that group, but think it's a good group that you know, if they see the advertising, they may want you to be their agent as well. Would you say that?
I love your wind chimes behind you, by the way.
It is loud with his meetings, so I moved outside.
It's all right. It's fine. I will tell you, Jared, that I hear what you're saying, and there is always a hesitation of agents when I coach this or teach this that say, well, I don't want to just specialize in musicians, because what if that means that somebody else who would call me, they're not a musician, now they won't call me. The reality is that you are going to attract more people that will call you based on the niche or the specialty than chasing that one or two that don't fit in that. And that's where the messaging says, I can sell any home in Middle Tennessee, but I specialize in ...
Okay.
That is how you still keep yourself from pigeonholing, and people will say, well, I didn't know you could help me. I will tell you, that's the caveat to this whole thing is that if you do a great job at marketing yourself to this specific niche, you're going to have people who say, well, I didn't call you because I thought you only worked with first time home buyers. That's going to be your fault, because you didn't educate the people in your life, in your circle, to know I can sell anything for you, but I specialize in, and my top priority, or the ones that I focus the most of my business is on first time home buyers, but I can help you too. Okay. That's where the difference in the message is making sure that people know that, hey, just because I specialize in waterfront properties doesn't mean I can't sell you a house in the mountains.
Yeah.
Right.
It's all in your terminology. You specialize in something. You're not exclusive to something.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Right. But it really is you're up to you to really engage your people to know, hey, here's how I can help. Right.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, if you know I'm a waterfront specialist, then anybody that you know that's looking for waterfront property or has property to sell that's waterfront, I'm your girl. Okay.
One other question. Sorry.
Don't be sorry. That's what it's for.
To the point earlier that you were talking about, you know, getting your Dave Ramsey. He's a douchebag. But besides that fact, obviously we're not all going to, you know, at first, or even, you know, sometimes years in, you might not get somebody that's a celebrity or, you know, that's knowledgeable in this point to sell a house to or buy through you. But the one thing I did take from it is anytime that you're going to ask one of your clients for something for yourself, you think that whenever they're at their happiest with you is when you should try to extract that type of favor or information from them. Right. Is kind of what I got.
Yeah. And it's not always at the closing. It's not always after the closing. I'll be honest with you. Sometimes
Wait till the, I'm sure it's probably it happens to a lot of people. I don't know, obviously, but you know, if you wait till the very end, some people just, you know, the transaction's done and they just never get around to doing what you ask them to do because your business with you is done. I mean,
and a lot of times things go wrong in the final hour that are no fault of your own. The title company screwed up. The lender was late getting the package. The other agent wouldn't give you the keys until it funded. Now you've got all these problems that you weren't responsible for. And now that has impacted their perspective of how the transaction went. Versus if I had asked them for a testimonial right when they went under contract and they were so excited about their first home and they were bursting at the seams, the emotion that's tied to that ask is very different than the emotion that's tied to the whole transaction at the end when shit's going wrong, right?
Yeah.
So think about it that way, is that where are we in the crest of the transaction where they are at the height of their love for you, their height for telling everyone that they know about how amazing you are? That's when you ask for the testimonial. And again, I'm going to repeat, it does not have to be a Dave Ramsey. It can be John Smith, that is your neighbor, who is your best friend, who is someone who knows you like a brother, who just is going to be a good testimonial for you, a good advocate for you, a good raving fan for you. It doesn't have to be, but John Smith might be super connected. He has 5,000 friends on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
And then you thank him and tag him so that all his 5,000 friends saw that he stood up for you, that he promoted you. It doesn't have to be Dave Ramsey. It has to be someone who has a following, who has some type of influence, who has some type of ability to get you instant credibility by attaching themselves to you.
Do you recommend getting one from everybody, regardless if you use it or not?
Yes.
Okay.
You should have an arsenal of situations that you have helped with. So if I had 5 first-time homebuyers, all 5 of them are going to write me a testimonial about how what it was like to be a first-time homebuyer with me.
Okay.
If I had a seller who was relocating to another state, then I'm going to have testimonials that talk about relocating to another state, right?
Okay. So you can create a whole file, basically, of,
yes,
you know, all of these people over time.
Here's the other thing. Be in control of your business. Model for your people what you want that testimonial to look like. Because here's the thing. If you don't model it, you're going to get back some crap that you can't really use in your marketing. So what you say is, you know, Stephen and Kelly, I know that you absolutely loved my service as your realtor. I sold your house in 2 days for $25,000 over list price. You know, I want everybody to know how happy you were with our services. You know, I would love it if you could write me a testimonial, or if you wouldn't mind doing a quick video. If you would, make sure you include this, this, and this. Or here's an example from another client that wrote for me, just to give you a suggestion of what it should look like. The more you model for them what you want, the better your output is going to be, and you'll be able to use it in your marketing. If you just say, write me a testimonial, you might get 2 pages. You can't really use 2 pages, right? That's too much. Or you might get 1 sentence that said, I love Laura Dahl. She's the best agent in the world, right? Well, that you might not want to use either, because that's not, maybe doesn't tell anybody anything about the experience. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Cool. All right. Who else? Any other nugget you guys took away, that something you're going to apply from what you learned today to your business?
I just have one more question.
Sure.
This thing we're going over today, the target audience and such, I'm just thinking forward with this and putting it on paper so I can really see it. What would you recommend, Laura, do we have like a target audience business plan template we could like work through and out of it, you know?
I want you to take a piece of paper. I want you to draw a line down the middle. And on the left-hand side, I want you to write the characteristics of the target. Here's all the things that characterize them. On the right-hand side, I want you to write areas where you can find them. That's your plan. Which sounds very simple, but here's the thing. Like, you don't need anything super complicated. You need to identify the characteristics that make up the group and the problems that you can help solve. And where do I find these people? How do I get in front of them?
Gotcha.
And thank then you need you. To actually implement it. Just go do it.
Okay.
Okay. I'm not trying to like act like what you asked for is silly. I just don't want you to overcomplicate it. You just need to identify who it is you want to work with. How do I go find them? And then I want you to develop a list of ways that you're going to reach them. What am I going to do? So for example, when I say a list of ways you're going to reach them, if I am trying to be the expert in new construction, I'm going to make out a list of, you know, I want to outline the process, all the steps involved. I want to talk about the various builders that are in all the areas. I want to talk about the different floor plans, which upgrades are most important to buyers, which upgrades cost more from the builder versus getting on your own. Pitfalls that they might fall into along the way where they need representation to help them. Like, I'm going to make a list of all the things that I need to be the expert in that thing. And then I'm going to start creating content that answers those questions or provides that information. And the content is going to vary. Some is a video, some is static, some's a flyer, some's a Q&A. Sometimes it's a PDF. I appreciate you guys all being here today. I hope you got something out of it, if nothing else, that you identified, like, hey, how do I make my marketing of my business more specific to attract who I'm looking for? Okay.